I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that you do for us. Lord, we just commit ourselves, body and soul, Lord, into thy hands. Lord, that your will be done in our lives, Father. And Lord, we just pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. God, that you would help us. Lord, that you would guide our lips. Give us wisdom. Lord, that you would have all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. I was kind of started out this morning that kind of thinking of a title about grumpy Christians and scratched that out pretty soon and put crybaby Christians, and kind of thinking along that line. And I got to thinking about what the Bible says and I just don't know that there is very many crybaby Christians or grumpy Christians. The Bible talks about putting new wine in old wineskins. We'll get to our text here in just a little bit. But we've watched throughout history where people try to reform different movements that have come up. In the Anabaptist, in particular, after Martin Luther basically began to see the corruption that was in the Catholic Church. And so he set out to point out these corruptions. He was trying to reform the church. And it was a long battle that he had, and he had a war trying to reform something that was already messed up. That Reformation kind of started some other people thinking, and some more people got the Bible, and in Switzerland and Germany and some of those countries, there's a man named Zwingli. For one example, began to see some of the same concerns, and he had a few disciples that were with him, and they began to talk about reforming the church, and they set about to study about it and talk about it, and some of them kind of got excited about it, and some of them realized that there wasn't nothing to reform. It was just an old dead wineskin, and there wasn't no reforming that needed done to it. It just completely needed thrown away and started all over again. And those men began to talk to this Zwingli about it, and Zwingli saw that they were getting a little too excited about this. And they were getting a little radical about what they're about the way that they were thinking about this. And so he began to try to calm them down a little bit and just began to tell them, now wait a minute, you just wait, hold on. Let's wait until the city council. I understand your concern. I see the problems that you're talking about. I too want reformation. But let's just wait until the city council and the councilmen, they're good men. They're wise men. Let's just wait until they see this and then we'll just all do it together. Let's just put some new wine into the old wineskin and let's just kind of make it all work that way. But these men saw that it wasn't good enough just to try to reform something that was already bad. They saw that they had to make a choice and act by faith to do what they saw was wrong and needed corrected. They weren't content just to put some new flavor into an old wineskin. They wanted the new. They wanted a new wineskin and they wanted a new wine to go in it. They saw the kingdom of God. And they saw that the kingdom of God wouldn't fit in any of old man's dirty old inventions. That it had to be put in a new wineskin. And that this thing was much greater than what they thought. It was a powerful thing. And it wouldn't just work in any old wineskin. And so they said, no, we're not going to wait. We're going to put into practice the things that we know to do. We're not going to wait on someone just to grow into being a Christian. We're going to repent and become one. And they went right away. They met opposition and found trouble. But they kept pressing on because they had found something. They had found something greater. Today, people in many churches, people begin to raise concerns about, we've left the Bible, we've left following Jesus. Where's the zeal? Where's the ambition? And so people begin to question it and get concerned about it. And they go to their leaders and they tell their leaders, wait a minute, we're missing something. And the leader said, I understand. I'm with you. I agree. We're not doing everything we ought to be doing. But let's just wait until everybody sees it. That's the way to death. That's the way to stop God. God is not in the middle. We're either on His side or we're not. He's not somewhere in the middle, waiting for everybody else to come along. What happens is whenever we get in the middle, we begin to see and feel the weight of both sides. We begin to be burdened about what we should be doing or what we should have. And our heart's still longing for what is in the middle. Our heart's still longing after what we might lose if we turn back that way, if we turn away from it. And so we're in a struggle. We're in a battle. And it's easy to get discouraged and depressed in that area. That's where the crybabies are. That's where the whiners are. That's where the complainers are. Christ has chosen you to follow Him. And if you don't like the path that He sets out before you, you can cry all you want and you can whine all you want, but it's because you don't even want it. Jesus offered a cross. Jesus offered a cross that would kill you in this world. If you want to be in the middle somewhere and just whine and complain about how things are going or how bad things are happening in your life, It's because you're trying to keep your life instead of lose it. Jesus said, unless you take up your cross, deny yourself and follow me, you're not even worthy of me. He has a straight and narrow road. And that sounds real hard to someone in the middle. But whenever you take up your cross and you deny yourself and follow, there is glory on the other side of the cross. I don't know how many people I've seen that looked at the cross and they weighed it and they didn't like it and they looked like it was too hard. But then when they yielded to it and submitted to it, that which was an abomination and hard for them in the beginning became a glory to them. I don't know how many women I've seen that they saw the covering in the modest dress is just, just so terrible and so hard. And they could just never do it. And then they yield to it. And then pretty soon after they've walked a little bit that way, someone comes up and asks them about it. Or someone keeps... And they come and say, hey, because I was wearing that, someone started talking to me. And they began to glory in that thing that they hated in the beginning. They loved it. And that's what I want to talk about today. I don't want to talk about the whining and the crybabies and the complaining and the discouragement. The men of God in the Bible saw the kingdom of God and they pressed on for it. And they were rejoiced that they were counted worthy to be associated with that glorious name of Christ. Christians are not losers. They may lose everything in this world, but they win that which is most valuable and most precious. The glorious Christ of God. To be a partaker of that heavenly kingdom. This world, this flesh, this blood, everything that we have is nothing. But the spirit and the soul that God has given, the precious gift that God has given man, is everything. The world may look upon us and deride and pity and see our terrible state. But whenever we have the kingdom of God, they don't understand. The problem is most people we're so soft that when things don't go our way or we begin to have a little bit of trouble, we begin to whine and complain. We have to do something sometimes that somebody wants us to do and we don't like that job. We have to suffer just a little bit. And we begin to whine and complain and feel sorry for ourselves. That's not victorious. That's being a crybaby. There's men and there's women who spent years in dark, deep dungeons. Cold, damp, rats, spiders, snakes, naked, chained, with a piece of bread and a little bit of water. And we whine because our job's a little tough. We whine because who knows what. God is not the God of a bunch of whiners and murmurers and complainers and bellyachers and people who are self-pity and feeling sorry for yourselves. God is a God of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And He came to this earth and this world, beat Him up, whipped Him with a whip that cut Him till they didn't even recognize that He was a man, mocked Him, put a crown of thorns on His head, and beat Him with His own sepulcher. Then they nailed Him to a cross. And He died. And He rose again. Because this world wasn't going to whip Him. He was a man. He wasn't a crybaby. He wasn't a whiner. He didn't get discouraged because the world was being too hard on him. He took it. That's the God we serve. That's the victory that God has for us. Whenever we start getting discouraged and feeling sorry for ourselves and having little pity parties, that's the way of losers. That is the way of the losers. And it doesn't belong in the kingdom of God. It's hard, and we suffer sometimes, very little, but sometimes. I think that's probably what the church needs more than anything in the world, is to be cast out. To be looked at as a bunch of vagabonds. To be looked at as a bunch of outcasts. To be looked at in scorn, spit upon whenever someone sees you. And being able to rejoice in it. Wondering whether somebody might come and just take away everything we got, burn our house down, leave us with nothing. Take everything you got. Maybe even take your wife. Maybe even take your children. Are you going to whine and complain? Or are you going to rejoice that you can still serve the God of gods and the King of kings? Before you go to whining and feeling sorry for yourself, think about some of those who have passed on before us. Here in Hebrews 12 or 11. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have been a king in the most powerful nation in the world. He could have had privilege, and he refused it. You think he cried then because he didn't get his way? You think he whined when he had to suffer just a little bit? No, he made a choice to follow. He laid it down. He was ready to suffer. Ready to do His will. He made a choice that this is the path I'm going to take, come what may. You know, whenever I start getting a little discouraged, that's whenever I start really having problems. That's when I start failing. That's when my thoughts ain't what they should be. Because I get to having a little pity party. And I get to whining a little bit to myself. And I get to thinking I deserve more than this. I deserve better. That just kicks the door wide open to things I don't want to have in my heart. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Right there is what the gospel is about. By faith, Moses saw what the world was offering him. And he chose that. Was there room for whining? Oh, I'm going to have to do this. This is going to be bad. I'm going to feel sorry for myself for a while. He chose that path. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do we esteem the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the United States of America? Do we esteem the reproach of Christ better than my little house, my little family, my nice car, everything that I have? Do I esteem that? Or do I esteem the reproach of Christ? You know, if we're esteeming what we have, whenever things go bad, we start bellyaching and complaining about it. We get to feeling sorry for ourselves. But when you esteem reproach, we probably ought to be complaining when things are going good. Jesus said, "Woe whenever they speak well of you. And rejoice and being exceeding glad when they cast your name out as evil." I think that's what we need more of. Those Beatitudes that Jesus talked about so easily get turned around. Woe unto the rich! Blessed are the poor. Woe unto you that laugh now! Blessed are you that mourn and weep. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ better, greater than the riches that were in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew there was more out there than what this world had to offer. Solomon had everything in this world. A king beyond what we can imagine. Anything at his fingertips that he wanted. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, wealth, wine, women, song. He had it all. He said, "All is vanity, all is vain." By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw a king that the rest of the world couldn't see. He saw a king that the world didn't know anything about. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as a dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? Let's turn, hold your finger there because we're coming back. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. God wasn't pleased with some of them. They were overthrown in the wilderness. They had to go through the wilderness, and it whipped them. It brought them down. God told them it would happen. He said there wouldn't be but the two men who had faith would ever make it through. And they were overthrown. They didn't have faith. They didn't take the opportunity that God offered. And they were overthrown. They drowned in the sea of discouragement and whining and complaining. They drowned in it. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are examples. These things were our examples. To the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. Why did all those things happen to those people? They received it. But God let all of those things happen for an example for us. To show us that if we fall by those things, or fall into those same traps, if we get snared, if we jump in that sea of depression, whining and complaining and seeking after everything that this world offers, we'll fall to the same fate. We've got a battle ahead of us. We've got a war. And we're going to get defeated sometimes. And we're going to get discouraged. And we're going to fail. And we're going to say some things. And we're going to do some things. And we're going to think some things that we shouldn't think. But if we get all discouraged about it, and we let it overcome us, we'll drown. When we fall down, get back up. We serve something higher than this. Whenever we get derailed, get back on the tracks. The high ground is where we can walk. The high ground is where we press on. If we get all beat up and just lay there and whine and moan, we just roll down the hill. a live fish swims upstream. Sure, there's a battle. Sure, there's a struggle. But keep your eye on the goal. Now, all these things happened to them for an example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things happened to them because of us. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from adultery. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Okay, let's go back here to Hebrews. We've chosen to reject this world. We've chosen to turn our backs on it. Remember that. I've chosen the path. I've chosen the Christ. I've chosen to reject this world. And whatever happens, I trust God. That's what it really comes down to. We just don't want to let God have control of our lives. We want to hold on to it ourselves. We don't want to say, God, I'll follow you come what may. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll suffer whatever you want me to suffer. I'll do what you want me to do. That's what faith is. Faith is saying, I'm going to follow the Lord and do His will. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Does that sound like a bunch of whiners and complainers? Thinking that their life's too hard. What God has put on me is too hard. These were victorious people. They were the people of God. They were the overcomers. The children of Israel, the Hebrew children, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, the king tried to get them to bow down. And they said, whether God will deliver us, we know He's able. And whether He will or whether He won't, we're still not going to bend our knee. We're going to be faithful to our God, though you throw us in the fire. Go ahead, turn it up. We're going to be faithful. Fire it up. 7 times hotter. Don't matter one bit. God will either deliver us, and if He don't, we're going to serve Him anyway. One of the most liberating things that ever happened to me was whenever I decided it didn't matter whether I went to hell or whether I didn't. I'm going to serve God because He is worthy to be served. Miserable servant as I am, I'm going to give Him my best. I'm going to give Him my heart. I've chosen to follow the King. And I'm not going to whine about it because my job gets hard. I'm not going to whine about it because I get sore and tired and hurt. I'm not going to whine about it because I get cold or because I get hot. I'm not going to whine about it because I serve a victorious God. One that sees much further than this. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, I heard about a man that was taken captive in one of the wars. And the people took him and tortured him. They found out that his father was a general or a captain or something way up in rank. And they took the man and they tortured him. And he never gave up. And then after a while, they realized that there was people pulling strings. And they said, "We realize your father's an important man, and so we're going to let you go. We're going to let you go back home. We're making a trade." And he said, "No. I'm going to stay right here. My men are still here. They don't have this privilege. I'm going to stay right here." And he went right back to being tortured. That was a man that did that for a nation. We've got a God to serve. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of the whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They were looking for Jesus. They were looking for the King to come and deliver them. And He didn't come in their lifetime. But they knew He would. And God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We have seen Him. We have heard about Him. We've been set free. We have the promises. Do we have the faith? The world was not worthy They weren't whiners. They weren't complainers. They were just faithful. Doesn't even tell about how many of them didn't do great things. They just endured. God hasn't brought these things upon us. We have a different war to fight. We weren't born in the middle of a country that was barbaric so much. We weren't born in a place that you have to worry about every meal. We were born in a place where you don't have to worry about all those things, about dangers. But the danger is still the same. To grow lax, to grow cold, to begin to whine and complain because of a little discomfort. Things don't go our way. The battle's still the same. We can't recreate those things that make us suffer. I think Satan's last attempt at us is just going to be try to lull us to sleep. That's the battle we face anyway right now. That's the battle we face. Don't be deceived by it. Don't try to create a situation that doesn't exist. Don't try to go out and make yourself a martyr. Be faithful where you're at. Be encouraged where you're at. Be strong where you're at. Be content where you're at. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, again we thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be strong and courageous. Be faithful to You, Lord. God, help us keep our eyes on the prize set before us. The invisible God, the King of Kings. In Jesus' name. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Training was coming, the bridge operator, raw bridge operator, whatever. And he was the same. But then I guess he went in the bathroom one day and just opened his Bible and started reading about the sower, parable of the sower. And just realized the Lord's talking to me. What am I going to do with this seed? And encourage himself. just he's
wonderful.
Do battle now again. But this thing of spiritual death, like you're talking about, that was a terrible thing all these people that God was displeased with in the wilderness for their actions. They ended up dying in the wilderness 40 years. Just having a number of funerals in the family lately, and one of the things that was said at one of the funerals was back at that time, which is when they were wandering around in the wilderness, there was taking 1 million people and divide that out in 40 years, that comes out to about 68 and a half funerals a day. And it's hard to imagine, but think of the funerals that take place if someone, one of us, decides not to follow the Lord anymore. Thank you.
We make that choice. Maybe sometimes we don't realize what's all involved and we get discouraged. But if we make that choice, we should be willing to be ready to bear it. And another thing about if we do make that choice, we will also be despised. That will come automatically. We don't have to go looking for that either. People aren't going to talk about us if we call the truth. It'll just happen.
I wanted to add that Richard and Hubert revealed that he had a buddy that was telling him, come play villains and let's drink rum. And I just, even before I heard that, this reminded me so much of Zenon in our shoe school, who began to try to convince me that he's not what I think he is, and that he don't feel anything. He just feels sad and discouraged. Sometimes when we're there, like you said, kicking the door wide open, just trying to just, hey, I'm feeling pretty bad. If I do go, I want to tell one piece beforehand that I'm not feeling right. Maybe to blame it on that.
Yeah.
So to keep that door open.
All right. Well, Lord bless you. Be back here 6 this evening. Lord bless you.
Savior, who died for me, I give myself to thee. Yeah. praise you, God.